gather in the Lord's house on this All Hallows Eve to celebrate and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning. Site for So this is Tuesday upstairs in the fellowship hall that we will be holding the election here at First Baptist. So if you are coming by the church on Tuesday, I encourage you to use the lower entrance so you won't run into anybody in the traffic that will be upstairs in the upper parking lot. If you're voting in Elon, this may be your polling site. So if you come to vote, swing by downstairs and say hello to us that are gathered here. But if you need to come by the church on Tuesday, please use the lower entrance as you come in, just because there will be additional traffic upstairs. Also, want to remind our ministry teams that we are in the process of putting together our budget for 2022. Many of you have been working on these. I know there's a ministry team that met this morning, and thank you for that. But I want to remind you, those ministry budget request forms are due back into the church office by next Sunday. So please be working on those. Make sure you get those back to the office so the stewardship team can pick those up and prepare for our budget for next year. Our senior adult luncheon is coming quickly. We look forward to that time of gathering upstairs in the fellowship hall for a Thanksgiving meal. That luncheon will be on Thursday, November 11th at 11:30 a.m. It will be a wonderful meal. We'll be blessed with the singing of Ron Castile, and we look forward to that day. The cost for that meal and that day will be $5. You can't beat that cost anywhere. You can't get a Thanksgiving lunch like that anywhere for that cost. So please sign up today. If you haven't signed up, they want to get a good hand count, an accurate head count of how many plates need to prepare. So make sure you stop in the communication center in the foyer. You can sign up down there as you leave this morning. Make sure you put who's coming. If you bring a friend, make sure you sign them up as well. We want to make sure we have a good head count for November 11th. I also want to thank you on behalf of the mission team for all your donations over the past month for the Alamance Regional Charitable Foundation Cancer Center Collection. We have a host of things that will be dropping off this next week to the Cancer Center, items that you have been donating for toiletry items, baskets, bags they hand out on a regular basis, and I know this is a need they've had right now, and thank you for your donations. And I also want to thank you for your donations to the crisis closet that we are putting together for Reedy Fork Elementary School. That is an ongoing collection that we're doing. It's not just for the month of October. There are items that they need constantly for their students at Reedy Fork, and we're going to continue that collection. I will say there was a testimony that you'll read in the newsletter this month about a student who came and needed a new pair of pants just because of something that happened. And because of what we were able to donate, it met a need this past week. So make sure you read that in the newsletter this week of how that crisis closet is making a difference in our community. Last but not least, next Sunday is our community Thanksgiving service here for the community of Elon. We gather with four other churches in our community to come together, to worship together, and give thanks to God for being thankful for all the blessings that He has bestowed upon us this past year. This year's community Thanksgiving service will be held at Shallowford Christian Church next Sunday at 3 o'clock. This will be a drive-in, an outdoor worship service in their parking lot there at Shallowford. It will be a wonderful time of gathering, and I want to encourage you to come. Bring a lawn chair with you. Come park. You can listen to the worship service on the radio. If it's beautiful weather, which we're hoping it will be, you can sit out in the parking lot and just listen to a time of worship. Time of singing. Reverend James Wilkes from Elon First Baptist will be bringing the message for that service. It will be a great day of gathering in our community, and I hope you'll be a part of it next Sunday at 3 o'clock. Now, it is weather permitting. If it rains, we will be gathering in their sanctuary, and we'll be social distancing in their sanctuary, and masks will be required for that community service. But it will be a wonderful day of gathering, so I hope you'll join me next Sunday at 3 o'clock at Shallowford Christian Church for a day of worship with our community here at Elon. There are many other things going on. You've got the November newsletter this past week. I hope you'll notice many other things coming up in the coming weeks. We are here to gather to worship. We're here gathering to remember what Christ has done for us, what Christ is going to do for us today, and how the Spirit is moving in this place. Let the Spirit move as we sing praise to God this morning.
And you may notice I'm not Gay Collins, but she's here. She's in the back. She's recovering, but I don't think she's still up to waiting quite yet. So if you would, our song of praise this morning is All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name. Let's stand together and sing the first three verses.
Thank you.
adoration of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the gift of glory may come in. Who is he, this King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. As we gather here this day, we ask that question. Who is this one that we gather in his name? Who is this one that we proclaim his name in worship, in singing, and in praise? The Lord Almighty. He is the one that we gather for today. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. We rejoice, O God, that the earth and all who live in it are yours. We who live in the world count this a privilege beyond all other. We therefore ponder this simple question. Who can stand before you? For we know that we do not always have clean hands and pure hearts. Yet we also know that you have reached out to us in Jesus Christ and have reconciled us to you and to one another in him. So we lift up our hearts and praise you this day for coming into our hearts through the risen Christ and the power of your Spirit. May this time of worship this morning leave no doubt that you are the King of glory, not only in our hearts and in our lives, but also in our witness to those around us in this part of the world in which we live. This we pray on this All Hallows Eve. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, once again, I'm going to ask you to stand up if you're able. Let's sing our song of praise today, When the Morning Comes.
Church observed on November 1st. are drawn for those saints who have passed on to reside in the presence of their Heavenly Father. Following that tradition this morning, we gather together on All Hallows Eve to remember the saints from our congregation who have passed on this past year. Each name listed in your bulletin this morning, I'm sure, has had lasting impact on your life and in the life of our congregation. This morning, as we light a candle in their honor, I want to challenge you this morning to remember. Remember their faces. Remember their stories. Remember their impact. Allow their lives to continue to serve as witnesses in your life today. On this day, as we remember our saints, let us give honor to those who built our families, who sacrificed for our well-being, who built up our church, who braved the storms of life, who fought the good fight, and in whom we stand on their shoulders today. Saints that we have lost this year. But each one of us may have other saints in our lives that we have lost this year as well. Family members, friends, individuals who had impact on our lives. And this morning we light a candle in honor of them, their names, their memories, their impact. May we always remember. May we never forget. the names we have lifted to you this morning. Bless their memories in this place and beyond. May we learn to walk wisely from their examples of faith, dedication, worship, and love. And all God's people said, song of remembrance this day. Reflect on their stories. Reflect on your story. May we be saints on this earth as well.
Thank you.
those in person, those on Facebook Live this morning, this is a special day in the life of our church as we remember the saints within our congregation that have passed away this past year. Yet, as I spoke before, and as many of you know, today is not All Saints Day. All Saints Day takes place on November 1st, that is tomorrow. So I encourage you tomorrow, light a candle. Light a candle for the saints. Not just those that have passed away this past year, but for the saints that have been saints in your lives. Light a candle in their honor tomorrow, because if you ask any child today what today is, they will correct you pretty quickly. Because today, for them, is not All Saints Day. Today is October 31st. We all know what that is. That's Halloween. But why do we call October 31st Halloween? Where did that crazy name come from? Well, I'm going to give you a little history lesson this morning. Just like the day before Christmas is called Christmas Eve, the day before All Saints Day, which is tomorrow, November 1st, is called, which All Saints Day is also known as All Hallows Day, by the way. The day before All Hallows Day is called All Hallows Eve. Push it all together, you get Halloween. That's where the name comes from. So what is this holy church day we remember each year on November 1st? All Saints Day, All Hallows Day. How does it influence our lives today? Now, I thought through my sermon this morning, I'd give you a little bit of a history lesson. I love history. It was one of my favorite classes in school. How Halloween gets some of its origins and how you and I are called to be saints on the earth right now. Now, as any good history professor can do, he can put you to sleep in a couple minutes if you get a little too bored. And I see kids right nodding their heads, right? Amen? I'm not that kind of history professor. I'm the ones that want to keep you interested enough, long enough to get you hooked, and then you still stay away. All Saints Day originated in Europe as the Feast of Samhain. It was a pagan celebration marking the end of the harvest season, about this time of year. At the beginning of winter time, we start feeling and getting the chill in the air. That was the celebration of the Feast of Samhain. Now, it was a joyous celebration of occasion. It was a celebration of remembrance and thanks for those who once lived on earth. And so at this time of celebration, they would call on the saints in the spirit world, giving them thanks for the blessing that they had provided over the year. People dressed in costumes, like people dressed in costume tonight. They went door to door begging for food. Sounds a little bit familiar, but we'll see tonight. And they received what people would call soul cakes as gifts for the spirits of the dead. Now, children, if you go out trick-or-treating tonight and you go to a house that gives you a soul cake, I want you to call me because I want to go to that house and see if they know the history of the soul cake. Well, they received soul cakes. Feasts were held, great elaborate feasts with all the bounty from the harvest season. Empty seats were reserved at the tables for the spirits of the dead. The fields were cleared and big bonfires were lit to purify the earth. People visited the graves of the loved ones, of their ancestors, similar to what we commonly practice on Memorial Day this time of year, or at Memorial Day. This was, and as always, the need of a little bit of fun. There was maybe a little bit of blasphemous too, I guess you would say. Common people began to envision the day before this celebration that all the ghosts and the goblins started coming out and causing a little trouble and chaos the day before All Saints Day. Thus the reason for the ghosts and the goblins on October 31st. However, in reality, instead of fearsome spooks and skeletons, this 3-day celebration marked a loving and time. Regardless of your belief about the afterlife and after this one, it was a time of remembrance and a time of celebrating those lives, famous or not, who had gone on before them. Now, the church saw the importance of the celebration. They saw the importance of remembering those individuals in their lives and the impact that they played, and wanted to hold on to the importance of that feast. And so they started making one time, one day each year to remember those ancestors around the same time, around that harvest season, and it always took place on November 1st. Now, usually when we think of saints, we hear that word, sometimes a picture comes to our mind of a person in ancient costumes with a halo around their head, one that you can easily picture in like a stained glass window that we have flanked in our sanctuary this morning. But that's not exactly correct either. Yes, they were saints. But the Bible teaches us that a saint is anyone who trusts in Jesus and tries to do his work on earth. That's the definition of a saint. You don't have to be dead to be a saint. This is where we come in today. We have the same responsibility as those that we honor today that have passed on before us. The names that we mentioned here, and we remember their lives. We living today have the same responsibility that they carried with them in their lives. You see, this season should be a reminder that this is an all-inclusive call. It's not a call for the dead. It's a call for the living, too. It's a call for all saints, all souls, and us. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 9. What does a saint look like, living and breathing today? Let's get this image, let's let go of that image from the past, and see what the image that Peter describes in this opening chapter of his letter. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to God's elect, strangers in the world, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, for obedience to Jesus Christ and sprinkling by his blood, grace and peace be yours in abundance. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You see, Peter emphasizes in this opening chapter in his letter to the Christians that are scattered throughout Asia Minor because of horrendous persecution that they were facing, that saintliness, meaning being a saint, conveys loving God and showing that love to God's people, to anybody. That's what saintliness looks like. others that we remember the names, the living as well as the dead. You need not die to be a saint. You can be a saint living and breathing, sitting in the pews today. Peter knew many Christians that had died for their faith. He testified to them. He commended their sacrifice. Peter would later die because of his faith. Yet Peter is encouraging the Christians in Asia Minor to keep doing despite the obstacles that they were facing, the persecution that they were facing. Keep going on. He knew that saints were agents of change. Saints make good things happen instead of bad. Change is inevitable. Let's face it. Change is inevitable, right? We wake up, we look in the mirror, guess what? We got more gray hair, we got more wrinkles on our face, it hurts a little bit more when we try to get out of bed in the morning, right? More aches and pains. I feel it too. I'm getting old. We all are. Change is inevitable. We all relate to this simple fact. But tomorrow always brings challenges, but it always also brings opportunities. We have the choice as saints to do three things. We can either fight the change that is happening. We can either be a part of the improvement that needs to take place, or we can simply ignore it. Which one do you think a saint would do? Ignore it? I don't think so. Fight it? That doesn't sound like a saint to me. Be a part to improve it. That's what a saint is. Who has been the saint in your life today? Think about it for a minute. Those who have played that role, who help make a difference in your lives. Parents, grandparents, teachers, bosses, your children, your neighbors. Who are the saints in your life? Who would you remember living and dead in your life on All Saints Day weekend? Who are the folks living and dead whom you look to as examples in your life? And then my question is, who would have you on their list? Because that's the ultimate call. Are you willing to be a saint today? The Holy Spirit working with, among, and in us enables the saint in us to recognize, face, and survive the difficulties of life. This is the suffering grief that Peter describes in his letter. Saints are able to look life in the face without flinching. We need saints in today's world. Saints who will go in the world showing the good news of Jesus Christ every single day, no matter what that day brings. Saints who will listen to someone's struggles, share with what you have, speak kindly to those who are in sorrow, and forgive even the unforgivable. Someone who gives others the good news of the love, hope, and salvation of the life of Jesus Christ. So this morning, we give thanks for the brave men and women through the years who have been faithful unto death in making known the gospel to their families and for the family of God. And we too, if we love and follow Jesus, belong to that same family. We too are called to be faithful in Him in our daily living, at school, at home, at work, and wherever else that God calls us to grow and to draw inspiration from the saints in our lives and to be the inspiration that everyone needs. In remembering those saints, let us bow to be modern-day saints to those around us and prepare to remember as we approach the table this day. Let us pray. Living God, we thank you for the gift of life. their labors. We thank you for all the saints, past, present, and future. Teach us to follow their example to the best of our ability, to encourage the meek and stand with them in Christus, to affirm those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, to cherish and learn from their merciful, humble lives, and to stand with the peacemakers in this world in which we live. We lift this prayer to the one who gave his life for all, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, this day. Amen. As we approach the table this morning, we are captured by the challenge to remember. This is a meal of memory. We remember the sacrifice that Christ Jesus made for us, and it is very fitting that on All Saints' Day that we remember the greatest sacrifice was made and the testimony that this meal brings. This morning, as we prepare ourselves with the elements that were given to you as you came into the sanctuary this morning, as we prepare to take the body and blood of Christ, may we remember. Scripture tells us as Jesus gathered with his disciples for that Last Supper, for that last meal, he took a loaf of bread. And taking that loaf, he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, broken for you." Let's pray. Father, as we prepare to partake of the body broken for us, may we be reminded that the message that you were sharing with your disciples that night was to be a saint in the world in which they went, to carry that message of love, that message of mercy to everywhere, to everyone that they encounter. We're called to do the same thing today as we remember those in our lives that have shared that message of love and grace with us. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for that gift. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. The body of Christ was broken for you. Take. Following the meal, he then took the cup. And he said, "This is the blood of the new covenant that I pour out for you." Let us pray. Father, the sacrifice that Jesus Christ gave to us on the cross was something that it's hard to wrap our minds around. It's something that we definitely would not take for ourselves or for others. But Father, your Son, Jesus Christ, did. And it is a memory that we take with us everywhere that we go. And as your saints, as your spreaders of the gospel, we're called to take and make that sacrifice wherever we go. Sacrifice of love, of mercy, of grace. Father, may we partake in the cup, recognizing the call that comes with it. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. The blood of Christ was shed for you. Take and drink. have a commitment to make this day. Don't put it off. Make it today. I'll be down.